Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. We are still in our worship emphasis. It's going amazingly. It's been super fun so far. And joining me on this episode is Stephen Wakefield.
Hey, everybody.
And guess who? Noah Chant.
Guess who's back?
He's back, baby.
Back again. You know, my favorite thing ever about B-Love is that every time Stephen preaches, he quotes a set of lyrics from some rap or pop song from
every
the mid-2000s, and nobody, there's like maybe Abby and two other people, like younger, get it.
And the best part is, I will never stop.
Never stop. He did one, I think he did a little, an Usher song.
Yeah, it was the Peace Up, A-Town.
Yeah, Peace Up, A-Town. Yeah. He goes, okay,
great. No one's with me? All right, that's cool.
I'll still rock.
Yeah.
That's one reference I actually understood.
Nice.
Probably the only, probably the last one.
Brian's a big Usher fan.
Yeah, big Usher guy. He's from Chattanooga.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Him and Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
I was going to quote something he says, but there's not a lot I can quote. Yeah,
no. Nope. Not on a Christian podcast.
So far in this emphasis, we've covered some good ground. Overall, the general tone is just talking about what it means to live a life of worship. And we've gotten into some different facets and aspects of worship. And this time, we're going to take a little bit of a turn. We're not going to talk maybe as much about worshiping the Lord. Mm. We're going to talk about worshiping ourselves.
Wow.
And then we'll talk about
it's worshiping
weird
because,
the Lord.
Well, here's what's funny. It's weird that this is the episode I was invited into.
Yeah, you're a bit of an expert in this area.
Like, who's the expert, man?
It's not that I worship myself. It's that I just have a lot of self-help. I need a lot of self-help.
So I think personally, when I think about just the topic of worship and like becoming a worshiper, I think this is probably the most important thing you have to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shift in our lives that we have to make if we're going to be spiritually formed and if we're going to become who we're called to be, do what we're called to do, we have to figure out how to make the shift from worshiping ourselves to worshiping the Lord. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the big shift.
It's kind of the idea.
It's kind of the idea, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the groundwork that needs to be taken care of.
Yeah, I think too, like, I don't know if we know this oftentimes well enough that like sin is idolatry.
Sure.
Like that's what it is. Like all sin, there's different types of sin,
mm-hmm.
but all sin is rooted in idolatry. Like that's the root of it. Literally from Genesis, you know, 3,
mm-hmm.
it's like, hey, we're going to choose to worship ourselves.
Right.
And care for ourselves. It's like, it is like the grand thing that, you know, ruins people from mm-hmm. all of human history is worship of self.
Yeah.
Like that's the great, you know, sin.
Right. And everything that we do in terms of like talking about spiritual formation or even like the spiritual disciplines, all of that is kind of geared towards eliminating like the worldly desires that are in us
mm-hmm.
and replacing them with godly desires.
Yeah.
And doing the things that we know will actually lead to transformation and growth and freedom and wholeness and
right.
holiness yeah. and all of that, right? Because like we naturally, and the nature of the world that we live in society, Western culture is working really hard at training us to live by our like earthly desires, our worldly
yeah.
desires,
yeah.
and to demand the gratification of those.
Right.
Yeah.
And like you said, all of that is idolatry and it's all rooted in the love and the worship of self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It all plays like a statement I had when I preached on worship of self was this, that what we don't worship God in, we will end up worshiping ourselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no like middle ground. There's
yes.
nothing we're not worshiping ourselves in or worshiping God in. There's nothing living in neutrality. There's
yeah.
only mm-hmm. I'm either worshiping myself in this or I'm worshiping the Lord.
Yeah. And you that's know? Something we've talked about on other podcast episodes is that like we're beings who are created to worship. So
right.
there's no such thing as not worshiping.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So you can choose not to worship God, but that doesn't mean you don't worship anything.
Right.
Doesn't mean
yes.
it doesn't mean that nothing is your God.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Yeah, you're not just living a neutral life where you're like, yeah. No, I'm just in the middle. You know, yeah. There's no such thing as atheism, like really.
Yeah, we talked about it.
We did talk about that. There's,
oh, did you?
Yeah. Okay. Which is so funny that you brought that up because, yeah, there's it doesn't really exist.
No, it
you
doesn't.
You can believe that like Yahweh,
sure,
who we believe like is God, the one true God, you can believe that he doesn't exist. But if you don't think he exists, something else has taken his place. Right.
One, well, the scary part is like serious atheists. Like if you were to like ever read or listen to like even like a Sam Harris, like atheism is their God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of heavy atheists, like atheism is their God. This is a worship of like that there is no God in some weird twisted way.
Yeah.
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 And they don't even realize that. Like there really is nothing. There's no one that doesn't believe in something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's even like where I think even like New Ageism has come so largely now.
Yeah.
It's the place. Sure. Like some people want something to worship.
Yeah.
You know, Baal's been around for so long because people want something to worship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's important that people realize that there's nothing accidental about Christianity, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes just in the system that we've come from in this kind of like more surface level, seeker friendly aimed church movement is that like we focus on getting a raised hand in the service. And, you know, someone says, yes, I'd like to be saved, give my life to Jesus. And then we do nothing to walk them into the road of discipleship and to really help them be formed as a full believer, you know. And I think it speaks to the same concept that you will worship something. And so if you're not intentionally worshiping God, then you will worship yourself.
Right.
You know, you will worship the pleasures of life, the interests, the hobbies, the whatever it is that's
especially coming important from, like, to you. Like the Pacific Northwest, you've seen that more than most because there's so much individualism there comparative to living kind of in the Christian paradise
in
the South. Like it's so mass there.
Yeah. Well, and a huge thing in the city I was from is there's a ton of witchcraft and everything in that. I mean, and I'm not speaking like figuratively, like literally, you know, like there was a store that was just specifically items for practicing witchcraft. Like, I mean, right in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
And one of probably a few. And I think that the idea in that is that all humans were created with a desire for the spiritual and the divine and the outside of themselves. And so the beauty of something like witchcraft is you don't have to submit to anybody.
Mm. Right.
You do all these things. You buy all these things. You tarot will tell you this great thing, whatever. The horoscope will tell you that. Like all of these different things, the crystals you buy, the whatever, they're all self-serving. They're all about leading you to that spiritual thing without having to submit to anything.
Yeah.
And Christianity is different in that we view the source of anything spiritual being God himself. Yes. And to get to the presence of God requires some things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think even like with what you're saying about like salvation, I think a part of the real problem with like idolatry in the church is we do get people saved, but we give them a savior. We never give them a Lord, which we were talking about off microphone a little while ago, but we never give them a Lord. And actually, like, the ability to stop worshiping yourself is the ability to see a new Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean? Because like social media can sometimes be your Lord. Mm-hmm. If it's dictating what you wear and how you think and your views and how you process thought and how you see culture and society and sex and all those different things, like it is your Lord. And like Christianity is not just a transfership of like citizenship, it's a transfership of lordship.
Yeah.
And when we get people saved and we don't actually disciple them, they have an amazing savior and no Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
And lordship is what really our faith is really should be a lot more about.
Yeah.
How to have a new Lord.
Yeah. Well, then, because if you have a savior with no Lord, basically everything that you, that like we as believers are hoping for, they just kind of, you're just kind of waiting until you die.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like the lordship of Jesus actually brings things here and now.
Yeah. Right.
But if all he is to you is a savior,
yes.
It's like, well, I don't really know what that means for me right now.
Right.
Yeah. It kind of sucks. Not right. You know, but well, no, one day I'll die and it'll be great.
And most people don't stick in the faith because of that.
Right.
Like, I signed up for my savior. Why isn't everything
changing? Or worse, they view themselves as sticking with the faith, but then no part of their life actually has anything to do with it.
Yes, there's no reflection.
That's the way you're yourself.
Yes. Yeah. And so we accidentally train people theologically to think they've been saved from something, but not saved into something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
that's
we go, great, I'm saved from, you know, eternity burning in hell.
Yeah.
Okay, great. But like, also, you're not just saved for heaven some other time. Yeah. Like you're saved for the kingdom now.
Yeah.
And the kingdom is at hand now. And so all those things that you need in life, like they come from the source now in this life to come. And not just the one to come, you know?
When you that sounds so simplistic, and that's the main thing never being taught.
I know.
That's the insanity of all this.
Yeah.
The thing not being taught is a now present kingdom with our divine agency weaved into that.
Yeah.
Yes. Which sounds insane.
Kind of Jesus's like main message.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's just like a weird, you know, it's a weird reality where, like, I don't know. I try not to harp on things because I'm a pastor and I see things through a different lens, but like, to me, like things like church attendance, lack of spiritual discipline, lack of people being open to worship, lack of people's participation and engagement in spiritual activities in which church offers is always proof to me of bad lordship and idolatry.
Yeah, sure.
It's always idolatry.
Sure. Like,
it's insanity to me that people don't see that.
Yeah.
Because you're always saying I'm choosing my preferences.
Right. Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
Every time you're not at something at church, and I'm not trying to say just our church.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to say just people be loved. Anytime, like, you are not engaged in holy fellowship.
Yeah.
Like, you're choosing your preferences.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you're sick. Don't come to church if you're sick. I get it. Like,
yeah.
Something happens. You have family illness. Go on vacation. But the general consensus is most people just go, eh.
Yeah.
No, not today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just shows where your lordship is. And
people
will hear a message on idolatry and think that's not me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Pharisee syndrome.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not that guy.
Right.
You know, it's insane.
Right. Well, even you said lack of engagement in the corporate setting is like, that's something right now I'm really like my eye of Sauron is on. For lack of a better term.
That was a Tolkien reference.
I know. Yeah, you're welcome. I feel this passion about the holiness and the sacredness of what we bring when we come together as a church. And and like you said, not just be loved, just in general.
Yes.
I think that God is so deserving of something honest and pure and sacrificial. And I think that when God is not the Lord of your life, he's just your savior, it leaves plenty of room for you to just observe in a worship setting. Yeah, rather than participate.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Because you view that moment as more about what you'd like to do in that moment rather than what is due to our like amazing, conquering, creating king of the unit. Like,
of
you
the
know,
cosmos.
Like, the cosmos. Like, it's just like, okay, so you're having a moody day, so you don't want to like raise your hands. It's like, okay, twerp. Like, figure it out, dude.
God. We're going back to legalism, guys.
I just can't remember the last time I heard somebody call somebody
twerp.
I love that.
You can tell what Steven calls his kids when they get on his nerves. Listen, twerp. Get out of here. No, but
you know what I mean?
It's
like when Christ is not Lord of your life, it leaves room for you to just do whatever you want based on whatever you feel like doing rather than starting first with who is God to me and what is that? What implications does that have on the life that I live?
Well, I see it, you know, like for myself, sometimes frustrating from a church attendance perspective, because, you know, when you're a communicator and you're a teacher, I'm not preaching willy-nilly. I have a year planned out. So I'm kind of taking people through a journey through 12 months.
Right.
And every week you're not there and
you're missing a piece.
You're missing a piece of the building blocks we're trying to build. And most of that is based off of preference. And like, how did we go from, cause like, here's how crazy the agreement is. The agreement of Acts 2 was we gather in the temple daily. Mm-hmm. And now we have this new agreement where we're gathered 2 hours once a week. And people are like, oof, feels like
a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, is that not insane?
Yeah.
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 Is that not insane? And I know like the time is frustrating sometimes, like for us. And I get that. I know there's hard strains and there's kids. I have a kid. And like, but like, there's no reason why there should be such a gap in people's hunger to be in the room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why would you not want to gather?
Right. It's not even about like you should. It's like, why would you not want that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And this is something I've kind of seen people start to talk about a little bit, and even just like pastors posting on social media and just kind of what they're seeing. But one of the things people are talking about is that church has been made a little too convenient.
Yeah.
A little too comfortable.
Yeah.
And that like, it should cost us something.
Yes.
Right. In a sense. Yeah.
Well, there's that language of, and it's not like sometimes I really think there are a lot of churches that I would not associate with that are doing good things. Mm-hmm. And they're doing things probably better than I do in certain ways. But like the whole, I heard the language the other day of like when a new person comes, like you have to roll out the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, if the initial idea is that this is going to be awesome, it's really going to suck for them.
Yeah.
Because it's not. Yeah. It's not all the time.
Yeah.
It's not awesome all the time. There's hard days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like the worst moment for me is like preaching on Sundays is exhausting. I don't want to go straight to bed because I want to have a little bit of my night, hang out with Bailey. So, you know, me and Bailey were up until 10 or so last night when we watched the Oscars last night, which was awesome. Even though everyone I wanted to win lost, but
I didn't even know it was the Oscars.
Classic. Yep. Conclave won hardly anything.
What's the Oscars?
I thought like
you're
maybe
if
I said the Academy Awards, I was like, sometimes people say Academy. I'll give you that. No, but the worst thing for me is that Monday 5 a.m. alarm after I've preached.
Yeah,
like this morning. I mean, that alarm hit, and I could sob. I'm so tired. Like I could almost cry.
Yeah.
Like there's just moments where I'm like, I literally could start crying. But like, I know if I don't have this, it's going to set everything else up to suck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard and I don't like it. But once I finally do it and I smell the coffee, I'm good. It's like, it's not always easy. And if the red carpet's rolled out, you're missing the call.
Yeah. Well, and we gather to roll the red carpet for Jesus.
I was in Whitefield. No, that can't be right.
I was also literally just thinking like, okay, but are we not training newcomers to church to believe that our gathering is about you?
Them.
Yes.
It's not about
it's
you.
Not right. about,
it's
yes.
about us together ministering to the heart
like
of the Lord.
Insanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Insanity.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine, you know, it's so funny, like, if you could pick out any little thing, and we even do this, but, like, could you imagine, like, showing up to the temple for the first time being like, hey, we have a little gift for you. Thanks for coming. James got beheaded last week, but there's a goodie bag on your way out. It's got a $10 gift card to Chick-fil-A.
Bring your heifer over here. We'll sacrifice it real quick and send you away with some lentils.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I've been given the 40 lashes minus one twice. And we're like, hey, here's a bag and a new book and some great treats.
Here's some earplugs in case it's a little too loud for you.
We know service went about 10 minutes extra long. We're so sorry.
We are insanely sorry about that problem. It's just like, it is. It's leading to every other area. Because here's the thing. It's matching the consumerism of everything else.
Yeah.
Like the world is consumerism in its most maximum. That's what really AI is giving us, is the ability to have exactly what I want.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And like, you know, and when you're a young boy, even like, I'll speak to myself. Like when you're a young boy, your first form, I think, really of idolatry when you get into like teenage years is like, I don't know if y'all dealt with this, but like exactly how I want my wife to look.
Hmm. Sure.
The first amount of like big preferences is like, they need to be this tall and this hair color and this look and this way and this way. And it's like, I can't think of anything more shallow.
Sure.
Than saying like, you know what I mean? Like, even though I look, you know, like me, I won't use any nouns or verbs there, and any adjectives, but, like, you know, like it from a very early age for me, idolatry hit me early because it was all about my preferences. And if you didn't fit this mold, you couldn't be blessed to be with me.
Mm, sure.
And it's like, oh, what a loser, you know, like, but that's how early our preferences start. There's all these little things that, like, you know what I mean? And it goes way earlier than that, but like really that was a setting moment for me recently in some spiritual meditation about like, man, a lot of idolatry started with the life that I felt like I had to have, had to look like this, the wife, the kid, the thing. And if it doesn't, like, it's wrong. It's like, no, that's existing.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? And it's more than it has to satisfy and please me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We talked a little bit about this on the episode about just worship and discipline, and how like it's so easy to just elevate our own preferences.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
because that's literally what the culture is training us to do in everything. It's all about me, what I want. How do I get what I want as fast as I can, as like fast as I can get it?
Yeah,
and that's the problem. And but I love approaching it from like a discipline, because you know when I. One of the things we talked about was like, when I think of the spiritual disciplines, I think of scripture, I think of prayer, fasting.
Yeah.
You know, my mind doesn't necessarily go to worship.
Right.
It's not the first place my mind goes to.
Yeah.
But it needs to be.
Yeah.
It needs to be
huge. Huge. Yeah. Because even like you can get caught in idolatry in your spiritual preferences.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like we make so many jokes, but like, me and Steven have two different ideas of a good church service. same central idea, but the surrounding pieces of it are vastly different. You know what I mean? And like, I've noticed for myself, because like I'd make jokes like, hey, like I will never like want to do a service like that.
Sure.
And guess what that is? That's worshiping me, not the Lord. Because if the Lord wants to do that, then I need to just shut my mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we can even get caught in self-worship within spiritual disciplines in our own idolatry of our preferences. Mm-hmm. And that's where it gets scary. Like, you know, like I love silence and solitude. It's an easy discipline for me.
Yeah.
Other things are not. And so I have to work at those. And so like we can even get caught. Like it's so funny because idolatry can hit from, and you're like, oh my God, it's worked its way into even how I worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just insane because like you can get caught up if it doesn't look like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the worst thing ever, like jokingly, but for real, like for Steven, it's the Lord was like, hey, I want you to sit in a room with all the lights on with no music and nobody else in there.
Sounds terrible.
And I'm going to encounter you like that. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's real. Like, it's like, I'm going to hate this, Lord.
Yeah,
but if that's how you want to be worshiped, I'll find a way to do it.
Yeah.
You
know? A way that I feel like comes up is for most Christians is you're in a service and a song comes on that you're not particularly into.
Right.
Yeah.
And what do you choose to do with it?
Yeah.
Do you choose to sit there and pout for that song?
Yeah.
Or do you choose, Lord, this is just the avenue I have right now. It's the tool in my hands that I can use to worship you, and I'm going to use it.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. And
it's a simple decision.
Yes.
But it's that decision is going, you are Lord, I'm not.
Right.
This is about you and what you're worth and what you're deserving of, not what I'd like to give.
Yes.
You know?
And even trusting that the worship leader maybe prayed about the song.
Yeah.
And it may be what you need, even though you don't want
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So many songs have hit me that I don't like.
Yeah.
Like there are, you know, I mean, there's elevation songs. Like
I know. Yeah. We were joking yesterday, or I think you made the comment like, oh, two elevation songs.
I did.
Which normally is not our culture.
Yeah.
And Abby, because I was asking, you know, we had the episode, I guess it was a few weeks ago at this point, but I was asking Abby and Braden just about kind of their process of picking worship songs and their styles and like how they go about that. And Abby was saying like, she's like, I just did a song by Elevation, said that I would normally, not that I wouldn't even do it on a Sunday, I would skip it if it came on. She's like, it's not a song. But she said, I was praying about it and the Lord brought that song to me. And it was like, this would be pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she like allowed her preferences to be put aside. Yep. Like, okay, I wouldn't normally do this, but if this is what you want,
I'll do it.
We'll and God moved on our worship.
It was
a powerful way last night.
Yeah.
And it was a group of people that just said yes to what's in front of them. And God honored it.
Yeah.
And it was
He just beautiful. Moved in the midst.
I mean, it was like one of the more special worship times that we've had as a church in some time.
Yeah. Yeah, like a pre-altar call. We've had a lot of good altar calls, but the pre, you know, like, is always, we've had a kind of a flow of just do the songs, move through, and like last night, a lot of stuff, which you may not be listening to this when we record it, so it may not have been last night.
It was last night for us.
Yeah, it was last night for us. A few weeks ago for you. But yeah, like, there's a reality where like, and it goes back to that, like, there's that John Tyson quote that basically Now City Church, or Church of the City of New York is built around, is like, God comes where he's wanted.
Yeah.
And idolatry is wanting yourself.
Yep.
And Jesus's lordship is wanting him. And if you want him, he'll come, but you've got to want him.
Yeah.
This isn't a slow dance. This is like a grab you and get over here. Like come to me.
Yeah.
We're not playing cat and mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be hungry for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a lacking, and most people don't realize it's because they, at the end of the day, they worship themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
most people get to the end of their lives, I honestly think, and go like, man, I really just worship myself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm that, I mean, there's tons of things.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many nights I'm watching hockey and thinking me and Bailey could be watching a movie and hanging out. I'm not going to change, but, some things are my cross to bear. But like, I do think like, man, like I take for granted sometimes how much I'm like, hey, like the living room's going to be mine.
Sure.
Because hockey's on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, like you can catch yourself in just little moments of selfishness all the time in the things you do and the way you do things. Yep. And you realize like, God, I worship myself so much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really care about me way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Katie says about Brian. It's been real hard. It's football every night. It's soccer every night. It's baseball. It's
sports. And it's, I'm always out of my workshop.
It's my birdhouses. I can't get out of.
Never get Brian out of his man cave.
Out of his man cave. Yeah, it's scary, I think. You know, I've been, sometimes it can be a scary thing. I think if you're not. If you deal with shame, it can be a really bad tool. But I've been trying to get back into the prayer of examine at the end of the day.
Mm, sure.
And examining my day, examining myself, where the Lord was, where he wasn't, where I did good, where I felt absent. And man, talk about something that'll make you see idolatry.
Mm. Sure.
Good God.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
When you examine your day again and you go like, I've built my life just around everything I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to give any of that up. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I love music in the car, and every once in a while I try to just sit in silence on a drive, just be with the Lord. And I'm like, well, one song is like that turns into four. You know what I mean? I'm already where at my destination.
By the end of it, you're like, God, you like music too, right?
Yeah. It was a worship song, Lord.
You invented music.
Yeah, you
what are you mad about?
Yeah. But yeah, like the prayer of examine really makes you realize that you've built your life to be happy. And sometimes joy, like I think God's always called us to joy and fulfillment, but there's moments of like where it's not happy. Mm-hmm. Like I think people doing underground work in the church in China and in Iraq and Iran, like I think they're filled with joy and peace and love. I wouldn't say they wake up every day like, God, these sandy roads, people want to kill me all day. Like sometimes it's not happiness.
Happy and joy are not synonymous.
They're not, the same thing. And it's the Psalm 23, like, the promise is never you won't walk through the valley of death.
Yeah.
The promise is just he'll be with you.
Right.
Right.
You know, and like that's where like idolatry meets, like where the rubber meets the road of idolatry is when you're in the valley of the shadow of death and you're like, no, I'm just going to choose me. Thank you though. I'm going to choose my peace.
Yeah. It's really good.
I try.
Cool. Well, I think that's going to be it for this episode.
That was great.
Thank you guys.
Hey man.
Yeah.
You invite me anytime. I really love this church. I'll come by anytime.
All right. That's going to be it. To all our listeners, thank you guys. We appreciate you. We love you all. And we'll see you next time.